You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back. We are back, and I apologize for the technical difficulties. We're at a remote location, and sometimes people just get in my face and start talking. So, Pam, I apologize for butchering the introduction on the preview, but I'll make it up to you now. We're with Pamela Michaels, Esquire. She's the Senior Vice President of Asset Preservation in New York. Pamela specializes in guiding attorneys, CPAs, investors, financial advisors, and other real estate professionals through the regulations and requirements of the 1031 exchange. Pamela, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Now, tell me a little bit about, let's just lay the groundwork. What is a 1031 exchange and why is it so attractive to folks?
Well, a 1031 exchange is a provision of the Internal Revenue Code that allows investors on the sale of appreciated real estate to defer their capital gain taxes, which means you will pay those taxes later, if ever, because they can continuously get rolled over. So it's one of the last provisions of the tax code that allows for such significant tax savings. And our investors today are faced with basically capital gain taxes of 25 to 35% on the sale of their real estate. So this is a significant saving.
Now, you said pay taxes, maybe not ever. How do you push taxes out forever?
Many people swap and keep exchanging over and over again. They'll buy a new piece of replacement investment property, hold on to it for several years, sell that, again, not do their 1031, buy replacement property again in another 1031 exchange. And the law today is, should you pass away with that asset in your estate, your heirs will inherit it at a stepped-up basis, and the capital gain disappears. So you swap till you drop. That's what we say in the industry.
Now, is everything able to be 1031? Does the thing have to be similar? How does all that work? How does it match up? Because it says exchange. What are they exchanging?
Very, very good questions, Jim. Well, after the Tax Act of 2018, we now are limited to only exchanging real property. So first, you have to have real property, and it's got to be property that you've held for investment or use in a trade or business. So both what you're selling and buying need to qualify. We spend a good deal of time going over a client's facts on the phone and in emails and so forth to ensure that they are going to be able to substantiate that they've actually held for investment.
Now, what kind of properties qualify? Can I do this with a house? Does it have to be a shopping center or apartment building?
No.
Can a mobile home park work?
Commercial, industrial qualify. Vacant land can qualify. Residential can qualify. What does not qualify is your primary residence while it's your primary residence or property that you've used exclusively for your personal enjoyment. And there's all kinds of structuring assistance we can give clients if they're not sitting in the right position with a piece of property to enable them to convert their use from use that did not qualify to use that does qualify.
And is there a specific location this has to be in? Does it have to be in a special area of town? It can be anywhere, the United States, overseas?
You're a step ahead of me. It can be anywhere in the United States. You have to sell and buy U.S. to U.S. To fit within the safe harbor of the code. And believe it or not, there is authority for foreign to foreign exchanges to qualify, London to France. But what you can't do is you can't sell in New York and buy in Puerto Rico. That is clearly a non-qualifying exchange.
Well, the thing about overseas to overseas is a new one to me. So high five to you guys on that one. Now, tell me a little bit about what the API advantage is. I read about a lot about that on your website. And before we go any further, I did want to thank DJ Van Kuren and his team at the Family Office Real Estate Magazine for putting this all together for us today, by the way. Big thanks to DJ.
So what's the API advantage? Well, as you might or might not know, when someone desires to perform an exchange, they must hire a qualified intermediary. The law requires that. And the qualified intermediary facilitates the 1031 exchange lots of details on that we don't need to go over. But what the most important factor is selecting the qualified intermediary. And what we refer to as the API advantage is that we offer the highest levels of experience, expertise, and security of funds in the industry. And why is security of funds important? Whose funds? The client's funds. Because in every 1031 exchange, the qualified intermediary is required by law to hold those funds during the exchange, which is a 180-day period typically. So security of funds is paramount, and we are fortunate to be owned and backed by a 125-year-old publicly traded company. We are part of the Stewart Title Insurance family, and they offer all of our clients the backing of the parent company, Stewart. So we have multi-layers of security. That's critical. That's one of the significant API advantages. We also offer experience of 25-plus years, a commercial division that handles very sophisticated commercial transactions, and a staff of attorneys and accountants that are experts at 1031 exchanges.
Now, you're based in New York. Does a person or a client need to be based in New York?
No, we are a nationwide company. We have people like myself in every state in the United States, and we have a headquarters in California that has a very significant staff, and another headquarters in Long Island on the East Coast. So I handle exchanges all over the U.S., as do my colleagues at the company.
Now, it says all over your resume that you're an attorney. Why does that matter in this instance?
Well, it actually does and doesn't. So in a 1031 world, I do not practice law. All I can do is act as a qualified intermediary. So we can guide the clients through the regulations and what typically is needed to comply. But when it comes to actually applying the client's facts and circumstances to the law, I cannot do that. I work as a part of a team with the client's broker, their real estate lawyer, sometimes their tax attorney, and their CPA. So we all work together, and we all have a critical part in the 1031 exchange. So I cannot give legal advice, but why is it important I'm an ESQ? Because I practiced law for about 16 years before joining API about 15 years ago, and I have a lot of real-life practical experience in handling complex real estate transactions. So I bring an added piece to the analysis of a client's deal.